Well, it's another day for Jesus and his victory in our lives. And what a wonderful song that dedicates it. It's a dedication, it's a consecration of ourselves. Take our lives, Lord. Take my life and let it be set apart. That's what that word consecrated means. And it's amazing to know, not only are you a beloved son of God through faith in Jesus, but you're also set apart from ordinary things, from unholy things, set apart by God and for God. And it's wonderful. It's like an object can be very ordinary until it was put in, set apart for service in the temple. And it's the same with you. You're not ordinary. God's hand is on your life. He has made you his child. You're a new creation and you're set apart for God. Now we're going to go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. If you have your Bible, we just read through a few verses here, and we just see something really important in the life of every believer, but was evidenced obviously in the perfect way in the life of Jesus. It's wonderful to know him, isn't it? And to see and read the word is actually to know and see Jesus and to understand what he's like. So this is where we get his heart, his mind, and his will for our lives. So let's just read Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. News of him spread, went out throughout the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendants and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him, and they marveled, I love that word, marveled at his gracious words, which had proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Now you can read more about their reaction a bit further on, because they began to criticize and bring Jesus down to size, really, to the human size. And they didn't recognize and didn't want to accept that he was any different to what he had been before, when he'd grown up amongst them, just as an ordinary boy, as someone who worshipped in the synagogue with them, the same synagogue he stood in that day. And I love to think that Jesus, you know, the word was written on scrolls. And he would have, they say it was about 20 odd feet of scrolls, and he unrolled the scroll. He could have gone anywhere in Isaiah, and he unrolled the scroll because he was about to define who he was and what the purpose of God was for his life and ministry. So he picked the right bit to define who he was, but mostly he spoke about the life and power of the Holy Spirit, and he spoke it so boldly. He just stood, spoke the word, and because of the anointing, he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, because of the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. The word that had been spoken for generations in that synagogue, it was different that day. Why? Because his words were now spirit and life. The Holy Spirit was working through that word, because he'd been baptized in the Spirit, and he declared it, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news." And you know, the sad thing is, they shut the door on the new thing God was doing. Isn't that awful that you can shut the door on God? On God doing something in your life. There was Jesus saying, today, you've always been looking for a future Messiah. You've always been looking for an event to take place. It was prophesied and promised for generations. But today, it is fulfilled. It's happened. I'm in your midst, and this is my mandate. This is what I am about to do. I'm going to change people's lives for good. And they close the door on the new thing God is doing. And I don't want to be like that, and I believe we're coming back different. You see, I believe that what God has done in us, those of us who have continued with him through the wilderness, you could say this last year, we've overcome certain things. And I believe that every prayer we've prayed, every hour we've spent with God in his word, every step of faith, every praise song, every Zoom call, fellowshipping with other believers, everything that we've overcome in terms of temptation and continuing not to doubt, but continuing to follow Jesus. If you're still following him now, I want to tell you, you are different to what you were before you went in to this last year of pandemic. This change that has happened over this last year. I believe God has done something new in us, and that we are returning in a different dimension of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is so encouraging to know that the person and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be different. A different expression, a different release of the Holy Spirit through the life of his church. God is doing a new thing. And he is going to do something so powerful in his mission, really, through the church, through his body, the body of Christ, to change lives for the good. Jesus was saying here and now, and very often, you know, as people were tempted to live in the past or live in the future. But Jesus says, you just need to know what's fulfilled today. You need to know what's true of you today. Just as he knew what was true of him on that day. It wasn't that there was any physical evidence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm pretty confident that the Lord, as he stood there and spoke the truth of what had happened to him when he was baptized in the Jordan, the Spirit came upon him at that point. When he spoke those words, he wasn't feeling anything. And you know, so much of our lives, we wait till we feel something. Do I feel that the Holy Spirit is upon me? Do I feel that I'm a child of God? The facts are this. And Jesus used the word to speak about who he was. He used the word to speak about the power of the Holy Spirit and what God's assignment was for him. To help and heal and set people free. And Jesus lived conscious of, he lived in the knowledge of the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, isn't just, he is described like water, but he's not liquid. He's God. You see, he's equal to the Father and the Son. One God in three persons. And so when Jesus was speaking, he was actually saying, the Spirit, God, Lord, the sovereign Lord is upon me. He was saying, the Lord of all the heavens and the earth and the universe and everything, he is upon me. So when we say we're baptized in the Spirit, it's a grand, awesome, big thing. It's not a little thing that's happened. And when he comes, he doesn't come only half of him. He comes and he fills us with himself. That's what baptism means. It means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now, we come to faith in Jesus Christ. As soon as we do, we're born of God. But there is another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this baptism is to actually fill us with the ability and power of God to serve him. The Holy Spirit comes so that we know him, we know God, he reveals God to us, he works the character, the power of God in us, like the vine and the branches. It's not our power, but it's his power bringing change in us. He works in us as part of the body of Christ, as we build one another up in love and as we are being built up by the gifts that God has placed in that local church. But he's also come to give power to change people's lives in our world today. And that is his ability upon us as his people. He baptizes us with his power. That is not a feeling, it is a fact. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you, fact, it's truth, have the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life, and God is going to do a new thing. He's going to do a new thing through you to change people's lives. And the point that I believe the Lord is saying that he wants us to know today, that this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing today, that it's not something that's going to happen, or it's not just something that has happened. Yes, we were baptized in the Spirit, but it's true today. Just as Jesus stood on that day and spoke this word, I declare this word is true for his church, Spirit-filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit church, that this is true of us today, that we already have the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we already have the power, then we don't need to get the power. Jesus wasn't saying that day, I need something else. He remembered what came upon him. The Holy Spirit came upon him at the Jordan, and now he lived conscious that he had come. That's the key, being conscious that he had come. You know, just let's look at what Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel. I think this really, it's helped me anyway to understand what Jesus meant. In John chapter 14, just these, you probably know these verses, but I think it'll help you become more and more conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the person and his ability in your life. Because you and I, and this is a remarkable truth, have the same potential as Jesus. I'm going to let those words hang. Just think about it. You and I have the same potential as Jesus because we have the same Holy Spirit. Which is why Jesus said, he who believes in me, the same works you will do and greater still. Now remember, just because you haven't experienced it, a bit like those guys in the synagogue that day, they hadn't experienced this before, and so they shut the door. Don't shut the door of your heart and mind to what God wants to do through your life. Don't shut the door on a move of God in you. And I know you don't want to. I don't believe you do. But just be open that this is a new day, that the time has come, that this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And Jesus spoke. He said, if you keep my commandments, verse 15. If you keep my commandments, you'll love me. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter. He will come. Because the world cannot receive him, because it neither sees him or knows him. So in other words, currently unbelief closes the door. That's why faith always opens the door to every move of God. The world doesn't yet know him or see him, but I believe many will. But the Spirit of truth is received by his followers. But you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the greatest result of the blood of Jesus, the work of the cross, is that not only are we sons of God, but God himself has come to dwell, to live, to abide in every child of God. He dwells with you and will be in you. But I love these words. Listen, this is what Jesus says to every one of us. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now this is interesting, isn't it? That he's speaking about the Spirit coming. I'll send another helper. And he's saying, I won't leave you. I will come. So he is in essence saying, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to the cross. I will be raised. I'll spend some days with you, teaching you about the kingdom, 40 days. Then I'm going to ascend to my Father. But he said, then I'm going to ask him to pour out his Spirit upon you. That's what he's speaking of. I'm not going to leave you orphans. Now, an orphan is someone who doesn't have a parent, a mother or a father. He's saying, I won't leave you fatherless. I won't leave you without care, protection, provision. But more than that, you see, the Holy Spirit is more than gifts and power. He's a person. He's called the Spirit of Christ. He says, I will come to you when the Spirit comes. So the gap for the disciples between the presence of Jesus being with them when he died on the cross to when he rose again, ascended, actually had been quite a fearful, everybody doing their own thing, disbanded. Eventually he got them together and they got together in the upper room praying, but they were praying for the Spirit to come. When the Spirit came, there was such a massive change, because when the Spirit came, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will receive power. That's a promise. You will receive power when the Spirit comes. So they have the person of the Spirit. You will never be alone. Jesus has come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. So if you are ever tempted to say, I'm on my own now, if you're a believer, you are never alone. You're not an orphan. And that consciousness of the person of the Holy Spirit needs to make such an impression, not just to quote it, and to know the Bible verses. It's one thing to know the verses, isn't it? But it's another thing to live conscious of that. And I'm not saying I'm there perfectly by any means. But God wants to say something here. He's going to do a new thing, but we must be conscious of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus was. He was conscious he was never alone. He was conscious that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was with him, not just upon him for a purpose, but was always with him, enabling him in every situation he faced. So Jesus wants us to come back different, knowing, conscious, that I'm not alone. I'm not an orphan. You see, God has sons. All of us are sons of God through faith in Christ, but he's not an absent father. Many of us have lived with fathers who are absent, away. Mine has gone on, and praise God, he's gone on to be with the Lord. But he is not absent, and that's the evidence in the book of Acts. We're talking about a very present Jesus through the power and person of the Holy Spirit. What an understanding Jesus brings us. Now we're not to be orphans, we're not orphans. Be conscious of the presence and power. Now the second thing that Jesus was conscious of that day was not only was God with him, but he had a power, an anointing. The anointing just simply means that God has, it actually means smeared with oil. It means God has actually baptized you, immersed you in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was conscious that another person had come. And that person was now going to lead his life, speak through him, heal through him, deliver through him, do every sermon through him. And up to the point of the baptism of the Spirit, Jesus had never done anything in the 30 years he'd been on earth. But his ministry began after the Spirit came. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit, produced in his life is that he was led. I always think it's astounding. Led by the Spirit, not to a palace somewhere to have a feast. He was led into the wilderness, a tough place, to be tempted by the devil. And what the Spirit enabled him to do in the wilderness was to overcome the enemy. The Spirit gave him the sword, the word of God. It's the Spirit-given word he spoke. It is written. He overcame the enemy. He said no to self in the wilderness and yes to God. He said no to the enemy by using the word of God against the enemy, because the sword of the Spirit, only the word will release, will give the Holy Spirit the power to overcome, because the word and the Spirit always work together. And Jesus overcame through the word and the Spirit in the wilderness, just like you and I overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit and the word that he gives us to win. And Jesus, you see, he was influenced by another person. I find it interesting that a couple of times in the New Testament, the New Testament, in the book of Acts, just thinking it through here, once they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, you know, they spilled out on the streets and people said they're drunk. And Paul made a reference in Ephesians chapter 5 to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, keep going being filled with him. And he said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there are two references to being drunk. Now, I just want to say that if any person you see is drunk, you don't have to be told they're drunk. You can tell they're drunk. They're under the influence. They're living under the influence. They're living under the influence of alcohol. And that alcohol changes their personality. It changes the way they walk, and it changes, in other words, you can see them stumbling around, and it changes the way they talk. So it's obvious that they're under the influence. And Jesus, when he was baptized in the Spirit, he was basically saying, I want to come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I want you to influence me. So to be filled with the Spirit is very much like being under the influence, but changing our personality to be like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, and to talk like Jesus. That's what he's come to do. He's not a dictator, so he will never force you to change, or me. But he has come to lead us into victory and into fruitfulness, to change the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to set people free. But first of all, Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was taken into situations that you wouldn't choose, but he was an obedient son led by the Holy Spirit. You see, I really feel very, very much that we're in a new day, where the days of, you know, childish behavior is over, that it's serious times. There is a generation around us that doesn't know Jesus. There are people that are in such great need, trapped, caught in captivity by Satan and sin. And the church are anointed with the Holy Spirit and power to change their lives. And it's not a time to do anything but give ourselves over to Jesus Christ, because I believe this is the new move of God coming. But I also believe God has raised and worked and done amazing things in this time, that we are a different people now. And we're coming back stronger, more devoted, and more determined to see God have his way in and through our lives to save a dying, perishing world. God loves and doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So as long as self doesn't take over, we can allow the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us. And it's constantly yielding, isn't it? To be filled with God, to be filled with him, is constantly yielding my own life to his life, my own will to his will. That's why that song at the beginning was so from the Lord. Take my life and let it be. Not just a song, but a life that's lived. But the exciting, amazing thing is that God would choose us to come, not to dictate, but for us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, he didn't dictate that they spoke in tongues. It says they were all filled with the Spirit and they began to speak. That was their part. And God gave them utterance. He gave them the gift of tongues. They all spoke in other tongues. So in other words, they were cooperating with. God doesn't take over. He takes over wherever we allow him to. And wherever he takes over, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's joy, there's peace and power, there's everything good, because God himself is good. So, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has anointed us. He has come, not will come. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit has come, and Jesus himself, through the Spirit, has come to you. You are not an orphan. He hasn't left us alone. But secondly, baptism of the Holy Spirit is vital. It's vital to see the purpose of God, the move of God take place. Now, just let's get back to those guys in the synagogue. They didn't perceive it. You know, Isaiah says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you perceive it?" They couldn't forget the old thing. And you and I get so stuck on the old, how it used to be. We get stuck on what we've done before and haven't ever seen God do. We get stuck on normal routines and traditions that aren't from God. There are traditions that are, but there are others that actually keep us locked in, outside of the power of God. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. We are coming back different. Do you know it? Do you know the presence of a person that makes every day a different day, conscious that he is with us, conscious that he has come? Not will. You don't have to ask him to come again. He has come. And conscious that there is a power inherent in every baptized in the Spirit believer. You have already received. Jesus said you will receive power when the Spirit comes. You will receive power when the Spirit comes. The day of Pentecost was the day the Spirit came. It was the day they received the power to fulfill the purpose of God for their lives. Now, the point is, all of this has to work out in our relationships and in our world today. But we have to know, first of all, before we do anything, this is what Jesus is announcing. This is who I am. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Let's open the door wide to a fresh move of God through our lives. As an individual believer, open the door of your heart and mind. Behold, God is going to do a new thing through you. Do you perceive it? Forget the former things, the things that you have seen. Give thanks for those things. But today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for these precious words of Jesus, that you haven't left us orphans, but that you have come to us in sending your Holy Spirit. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we actually have you, Lord, the Spirit of Christ, that he is equal to God. He's not a thing, he's not a power, he's more than gifts. He is God himself. I just want to thank you, Lord, that we're never alone, that you're not an absent father, that you're always present, always caring, always loving, always warning, always changing, correcting, but you're always providing and doing us good. So, Lord, may we live conscious like Jesus of the person that is with us always, the Holy Spirit. And also, Lord, just as you stood and spoke those words as fact, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, without signs, without feeling, and without experience. Lord, I pray our take home from you today will be, this is who I am. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Every one of us who's baptized in the Spirit. That's true. So, Lord, thank you for this awesome, inherent, God-given power to change people's lives for good. Praise God. I believe there's a bit of take-home homework today. And I would encourage you, and I used to do this a lot with Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. The same words that Jesus stood and spoke from Isaiah. Take that word, put it in your mouth, speak it over yourself every day for as long as it takes that you actually believe. Because faith comes from hearing. You need to hear it again and again. And God will affect belief. He'll bring a consciousness so that you can live conscious wherever you go as a mum or a dad, or in your workplace, or a business person, or with your neighbours, and as we come together as a church. Change has taken place, guys. We're different. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. What an awesome word that God has fulfilled. And if you're not baptised in the Spirit, Luke 11 says, ask and you will receive. And you can either look it up, call us, we'd love to pray with you, but you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because you need all that God wants to give you to fulfill the God-given mandate for this earth and this time. You're a blessing to us. I'm looking forward to being together again. We're going to start Easter Day with a band in next weekend. And before I close, I'd like to just invite you on Friday, Good Friday morning, at 9 o'clock. Yeah, so you can plan the rest of your day, but I just thought it'd be great if we took communion together. So at 9 o'clock, in your homes, wherever you are, if you prepare either grape juice, or if you want to take wine, whatever, and bread or a cracker. And I'd love us to connect on YouTube again, and let's just take a 20-minute communion together, celebrating the greatness of what Jesus has done for us through the cross and through his work. So looking forward to that, but be conscious, you're not alone, and he's anointed you. Have a great week knowing who you have with you. Bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.